he'd keep his phone shut off today so he can concentrate on the group instead of dealing with calls related to the employee he fired. He's on a day trip with a group, on a boat tour around the bay with a 3-hour stop at Alcatraz. But he did tell me he'll go to his office after the tour, at around 6 o'clock. So, the second the last kid is picked up, I head straight for his office, my mind made up.
Daniel. Lena is still at reception when I step inside my office building. Daniel, you're here, finally. I need to... Give me 5 minutes, Lena. 5 minutes. She nods, lips pressed together. Inside my office, I finally turn on my phone. Jesus. Notifications keep popping up on my screen like mad. I have missed calls from my entire family. Shit. Did something happen to any of them? Or Caroline? Then I see the dozen missed calls from my employees, too. I've got about 2 dozen messages, too. From Beatrix as well. What does she want from me? Speak of the devil, she's calling right now. Finally, you pick up, she exclaims. What's going on? Been on a tour all day. My phone was turned off. Great. I take it you haven't seen the photo? The article? What photo? What article? She talks so fast it's hard to keep up, but I do my best, swearing in between. I don't get it. They've got a photo of what? Nothing happened. Oh, for God's sake, Daniel. You're a veteran at this. The press spins everything around. They've got a picture of me hanging around your neck when you were bringing me back to the hotel half passed out. Light's crappy, so is the angle. Looks like we're kissing. I groan, dragging a hand down my face. How the hell did this happen? My stomach sinks. Has Caroline seen this? Did she believe it? Fuck. Beatrix, I gotta go. Need to make an important call. Grant and I will be making a statement about this. You might get a bit of hate email from his fans, but I'll deal with it. But I need to go right now. I have something important to do. As soon as the call disconnects, I look up the article online. My entire body tenses, then relaxes again. The photo doesn't look too damning to me, but that might be because I was there and know what happened. Will Caroline believe me? I don't have much in my defense except my word. Rumors about myself never bothered me, unless they could hurt my family. I've always focused on killing fake stories about my brothers. Since Logan and Sebastian are something close to Golden Boys, the made-up rumors about them are especially vicious. Just last month, a local trashy magazine was about to publish a story about Logan having another family. Blake and I called in about 100 favors so it would never come out. Sebastian says fighting these things is futile. Maybe he's right. The family would know the truth anyway. But here's the thing. Their kids aren't old enough to understand. They just get confused. Maybe hero worship their fathers less. And when enough shit gets written about you, people eventually start believing that at least some of it has to be true. Since my eldest siblings have always been a more interesting target, I never cared much what was written about me. Now, though, I have a big reason to care. And her name is Caroline. Sitting at the edge of my desk, I hover with my thumb over the screen of my phone. Nah, this conversation needs to be face to face. If my word is all she'll have, I best deliver it in person. Lena pokes her head through my door. There's someone here to see you, Daniel. When the door opens wide, Caroline comes into view. She gives Lena a small smile, comes inside, and closes the door. You saw. Lamest opening if there ever was one. Caroline nods, chewing on her lower lip, avoiding eye contact. Just after lunch, the girls at work showed me. She takes a deep breath, snaps her gaze up. And I decided I don't believe a word of it. That picture might look like a kiss, but I'm sure it was not. I cross the room to her, wrap my arms around her waist, and kiss her hard. Fuck, I didn't even know how much I needed this. Her full trust, her blind trust. She pushes her sweet body against mine, sighs against my mouth. As long as she trusts me, I don't care about anything else. You decided, hmm? I murmur when we pause for a breath, keeping my arms where they are. I'm not letting her go. Not yet. She nods, sighing quietly. I panicked at first, but you've been so... I mean, everything between us has felt so real. I thought there's no way you'd do that. Uncertainty flickers in her eyes, her body tensing. Would you? No, love, I wouldn't. She relaxes in my arms. Before you came, I was just thinking about how to build my defense when all I have is my word.
Your word is enough for me?
She says, almost breathlessly, smiling up at me. Best damn thing I've seen all day. I pull her even closer to me. Caroline is one of a kind. I knew that 9 years ago, too, but was too stupid to fully appreciate it. Now I'm going to show her how much I appreciate her. Every day. I kiss the tip of her nose, her forehead, dust my lips to her temple. Here is the entire story. Beatrix was drunk. I carried her back to the hotel. Her friends helped her to her room. There's nothing more to it.
I believe you.
Just like that, she believes me. Thank you for trusting me.
This feels different than before.
Her eyes widen, and she immediately casts her glance away, shaking her head as if chastising herself for saying out loud something she wasn't supposed to. She's adorable when she has entire conversations in her head, but I want to be part of this particular one. Different how? I nudge.
Never mind.
She tries to wiggle out of my arms, but I just keep her more firmly in place. I want to know.
No, you do not. These are things better kept for girls' night out. Women dissect these topics for hours at a time. Men are more straightforward, and feelings talk sends them running for the hills, and...
Give me more credit. I kiss the tip of her nose again. Come on, try me. How is it different?
It feels deeper, more real.
Thank God I'm not the only one feeling this way.
Caroline. Did he just say that? Dan, I whisper, but I don't say more because he seems to want to continue talking, and I want to soak up every word. Back in college, I cared about you, but not like this. I liked how much fun we had together. Liked undressing you every chance I got. I like those things now, too, but also our quiet nights together. Asking you about your day, telling you about mine. These last couple of weeks haven't been the easiest, but knowing you're mine, all sweet and wild. I like building a life together with you, Caroline. So what you mean is, before you used to enjoy the sun with me, and now you also like holding an umbrella over me when it rains. He furrows his brow, looking confused. What? I smile sheepishly. Sorry. My mom used to say that. Love isn't just about enjoying the sunny days together, but holding an umbrella for each other when it rains. I get it. He seals his mouth over mine, kissing me hard. His hands move around my back, slide down my ass, groping me shamelessly. Then he kisses down my neck, my shoulder. Feeling his lips and frantic breath on my bare skin sends sparks all over my nerve endings. His mouth becomes greedier still, descending on my collarbone. What are you doing? I whisper. I need you. Right now? Right now. I'm not going to allow you to leave this office until you come. I let out a sound of exasperation mixed with excitement, but don't make a single attempt to wiggle out of his arms or to stop him. I want this, his unrestrained passion. He kisses me again, harder, as if he hasn't kissed me in weeks. When he unhitches his lips, he directs his attention to my chest. I'm wearing a knee-length wool dress and thick stockings that reach my upper thighs. I'm also wearing a push-up bra, so my girls are squished together nicely. Daniel clearly appreciates this, dragging his lips on the tops of my breasts. You drive me crazy, he murmurs. We're going to have to be quiet. A thrill runs through me, jolting my cells alive. This is going to be fun. I lean into him, kissing his lips, his jaw. He has a light scruff that I adore. It grazes my lips, but just barely. It's a little rough, a lot masculine. Like Daniel. I want to kiss every inch of him, but one look at Daniel makes it clear he has other plans. Those sinful dark eyes are trained on me, so full of lust and determination it makes my stomach flutter. He towers over me, skimming his hands over my shoulders, down my arms. His mouth is everywhere, nipping at my neck, grazing my shoulder. I'm shuddering in anticipation, not knowing where he'll put his lips next. Will it be my chest? My shoulders again? He does neither, instead whirling me around, pushing my hair to one side and kissing the back of my neck until I'm trembling in his arms. I decide to stop trying to anticipate his every move and just allow myself to be surprised. And holy hell, does he ever surprise me by cinching the dress up at my sides, lifting it up, up, up? Then he pushes the thong to one side, driving a finger inside me. I buckle forward, a gasp escaping my lips.
Quiet,
he growls. How do you expect me to be quiet when you do this? Daniel moves the finger in and out of me, sliding a second one inside.
I love that you're so wet for me, Caroline.
His voice is a low, sinful whisper. When he slides his fingers out, moving to my clit, I nearly bite my tongue with the effort of staying quiet. I won't be able to do it. He circles my bundle of nerves until my entire body tightens up. With a sharp exhale, I push his hand away, turning to face him. Time to give him some of his own medicine. Before he can do anything, I lower myself onto my knees, working on his belt, freeing him, and... holy shit. The sight of him in his clothes with just his cock hanging out is surreal. I want to eat all of him up, one lick at a time. But that's too ambitious a project for right now, so I settle for licking all over his erection. Up to the base, back to the crown, dipping my tongue in the crevice right under the tip. Daniel lets out a low, guttural groan.
On my desk, Caroline.
Holy bananas. His tone is doing wicked things to me. So, of course, instead of doing that, I take him deeper in my mouth. Daniel gasps, the veins on his neck cording briefly. Then he pulls out and helps me to my feet.
I said, on my desk.
He swipes his tongue over my lips before claiming my mouth. I feel myself walk backward, and then the edge of the desk presses against my ass. Daniel hoists me up onto it. I let my flats drop to the floor.
On your elbows.
I do just that, perching my feet on the edge of the desk.
You look sexy in these stockings,
he says, as I gather my dress around me, and I make a mental note to wear them with garters next time. He pushes my panties to one side, but just when I think he's going to drive inside me, he bends down, kissing me right on my folds. My hips lift off the desk, pressing against his face. He slides his tongue inside me, his thumb pressing on my clit. Oh, God, this is all too much. Tension strums through me, intensifying quickly. Too quickly. I'm right on the cusp of an orgasm. But Daniel stops, instead sliding inside me, covering my mouth with his hand. I explode the moment he enters me, spasming around him, my groans muffled by his palm. Then he brings his hands under my ass, lifting it a little. Fingers pressed deep into my glutes, he starts loving me in earnest, hard, fast, and desperate.
Come closer, he rasps in between thrusts,
and I understand what he means because I feel the same way too. I want, need, to be closer to him. Touching isn't really possible in this position, but I want to be as close to him as possible. I push myself up, almost in a sitting position, leveling myself on my palms, changing the angle between us. Daniel thrusts against a point so deep inside me that my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. He leans over slightly, and our mouths clash, halfway in a frantic kiss. I can taste both of us in this kiss, and it's the damned sexiest thing. We kiss each other's sounds of pleasure. The muscles in his arms scream in protest, the edge of the desk cutting into the soles of my feet as I meet his desperation with equal fervor.
Fuck, I need to touch you, he said hoarsely. I need your skin.
He doesn't finish the sentence. Instead, he lifts me off the desk, laying me down on the carpet, and then he unbuttons his shirt faster than I've ever seen him. My work is easier. I just lift my dress over my head, unclasp my bra, and throw it somewhere in the room. Then Daniel lies on top of me, every inch of my torso touching his front. The skin-on-skin contact is like a breath of fresh air.
I needed to be close to you like this,
he whispers in my ear as he slides inside me. So did I, but I didn't know how to ask.
I have a confession to make.
He touches my cheek with the tip of his nose tenderly.
I don't know if I'm falling for you all over again, or if I never stopped loving you.
My eyes swell with emotion. I never stopped. He looks straight down at me, smiling before covering my mouth with his. We rock against each other, a tangle of limbs, caresses and kisses until we both shatter from the sensations. Limp with pleasure, we remain sprawled on the floor, drawing our breaths. Right until a knock at the door startles us. Jumping to our feet, we arrange our clothes as quickly as possible. Daniel opens the door and Lena hovers in front of it. Sorry, Daniel, but it's late and I'm having dinner with some friends. Is there anything you need me to do before I leave? How do you want to handle the Beatrix issue?
Don't worry about it. She and Grant will make a statement. There's not much else to do except wait for it to die down.
Do you think this has anything to do with Justin? Daniel narrows his eyes, considering this.
I bet he paid someone at the L.A. hotel to take pictures for him. Go to your dinner. Sorry I kept you waiting.
She glances at me, hides a small smile. My entire face feels on fire. No problem. Have a good night. When he closes the door, I cover my cheeks with my hands. She knows.
Nah.
She knows.
She suspects. Different things. But since she's leaving anyway...
He wiggles his eyebrows.
We could pick up where we left.
Daniel Bennett, are you propositioning me again?
Yes.
I narrow my eyes, planting my hands on my hips. Right. This is supposed to be the stern woman look, something Mom and Jenna Bennett always pulled off to perfection. I have a hunch I look ridiculous, but persistence leads to mastery. I will have you know that was cheap. It also made all my lady parts tingle, because I'm just as cheap, but I'll keep that to myself.
Caroline, don't play the proper card with me. I know you too well.
Stepping closer, he adds in a lower octave.
And I just had you on my desk and the floor of my office.
It was worth a try, though, I say with a shrug. Then I have a wicked thought, and well, since we just established proper isn't cutting it for us, why not voice it? I won't mind if you take advantage of me some more once we get out of here, though. His eyes widen, and he exhales sharply. One of his hands twitches, as if he wants to touch me right here and now, and is barely restraining himself.
You're a wicked little thing,
he murmurs. All your fault. You stand there, all hard muscle, full lips and sexy eyes. What's a girl to do? I'm enumerating all this on my fingers, looking down at them. When I raise my gaze to him, I startle at the vulnerability etched in his expression.
What do you feel when you're with me, Caroline?
I feel that I belong in your arms. He exhales, and for a brief second, I wonder if he really thought I feel anything less. He takes one of my hands, kisses my palm, then moves my hand up his cheek, leans into my touch. He looks so vulnerable, I don't know what to make of it, so I follow my instinct, stepping closer and rising on my toes to kiss him. He responds with so much tenderness, it makes my insides melt. I lace my arms around his neck and put as much heart as I can in the kiss. We only part when we both need a mouthful of air. He still looks out of sorts, almost nervous. I wish I knew what has him so on edge. That would make softening said edge so much easier. Before I have a chance to ask, Daniel moves around to the back of his desk, picks something up in his fist from the top drawer, and returns to me, holding it up.
I want you to have this,
he says. A key?
to my apartment.
Oh, sure. Want me to water your plants while you're gone to Sydney? I make a mental inventory of them. There are only 3 pots. He shakes his head.
No, I want you to have it. For good.
Oh. Oh! Now I understand why he was nervous. If I'm honest, I've become jittery myself in the 2 seconds since his meaning clicked into my mind. Then my heart swells with emotion. Wow. Are you sure? I ask. Wrong approach, because his expression hardens a bit.
If you don't want...
I do want it, I assure him. But I don't want you to regret it. He's smiling now, and some of my anxiety bleeds away.
It's a little fast, but it also feels like I've been waiting 10 years to do this.
I take the key, and if I were alone, I'd hug the tiny scrap of metal to my chest. Well, on second thought, why shouldn't I? I've never been shy about expressing myself, and Daniel is intimately aware of my little displays of craziness. So I hug it to my chest, and shimmy my hips in a small dance, too. He's giving me a piece of his heart, and I make a silent promise to cherish it, take care of it. Yes, this feels like it's moving faster than the wind, but I can learn to fly at his speed. He laughs, cups my face, and kisses me again.
I love seeing you so happy, making you happy.
Back at you. Just giving you a heads up, but I'm so happy right now, I'd do anything you ask me.
See, now, giving me carte blanche like this is dangerous.
No, it's not. I trust you.
You do?
Yeah. I trust you to take advantage of me thoroughly and completely. Daniel steps closer, leans into my private space until he's so close we're breathing the same air. His eyes have a dangerous glint, and heat rushes through me. How can he do this? How can he still take my breath away, still make me weak in the knees with nothing more than a look? In all these years, I haven't grown immune to his charms in the least. If anything, I've become more susceptible. Right now, I feel particularly close to him. I tighten my grip on the key and can't help smiling from ear to ear. I'm going to make a copy of the key to my apartment for him when he returns from Sydney. Chapter 26. Caroline. We spend the night at his apartment, but don't sleep at all, what with his early flight. Plus, we need to get our fill of each other before he leaves on his trip. He'll be gone for the rest of the week. Call it advance lovemaking.
Can you check the airport website for any delays while I shower?
He asks from the bathroom. Sure. I check the airport's website, and the flight is still on schedule. Then I make the mistake of opening his Facebook app. It's a habit, because I do that almost every morning. And I freeze. The app opened on the page for his business, and he has a flood of messages. Some private, some for everyone to see. How dare you break up that couple? Grant finally found himself a nice woman to settle down with. You should be ashamed. Wow. I never knew Beatrix and Grant were America's new it couple, but it's not like I'm up to date with celebrity gossip, and judging by the number of hate messages Daniel received, they have quite the fans. Some public messages are even worse, insinuating the photo looks as if Daniel's taking advantage of her. What the hell? How can people just throw around accusations like this? It's insane. I barely stave off the urge of replying to every single one of them. Give them a piece of my mind. By the time Daniel comes back from the shower, I've worked myself into a frenzy pacing the room.
What's wrong?
He asks. I shove the phone in front of him. These people! How can they say all this? Daniel frowns at the screen, shakes his head.
Things will settle down after Grant and Beatrice make their statement, but I have my PR team on this anyway.
He dresses, checks his luggage with supreme calm. How can you be so calm about it? I ask, putting on yesterday's dress and the tights but foregoing the panties. But doesn't it bother you to read all those things?
No, I know you don't believe them, and my family certainly doesn't. Anyone else can have a field day for all I care. It'll die down.
But won't it affect your business? He grins, pulling me into a hug.
Don't worry. If the business goes bust, I'll retrain. Think I'll be good at anything else? I can always be a stay-at-home dad to that entire brood we're going to adopt.
Wow. Wow, wow. Every fiber in my body melts. You joker, I whisper, my voice thick with emotion. I can't believe you'll be gone for the entire week, and I hate the time zone difference.
Me too, but we'll work around it. Come on, time to go or I'll be late. If I miss the plane, I'll never hear the end of it from Christopher for not using the private jet.
Why aren't you?
Jet's engine's small. Australia's far. Would have had to stop for fuel a few times. Not worth it. Trip's long enough as it is. Ready to go?
I'm going with him to the airport since I'll be driving his car back. Yeah, but I'm hungry. How about I buy us both a sandwich and coffee while you get the car out of the garage?
Sounds good.
We ride the elevator down together, and I step out on the ground floor, crossing the large lobby area. The doorman isn't here. Weird. In all the times I've been here, I've never seen the entrance area unsupervised. When I step outside the building, I realize why the doorman isn't in his usual spot. He's out here, talking sternly to a young man, camera hanging from his neck. A reporter, clearly. My stomach constricts when I hear him utter the name Daniel Bennett.
He'll want to give his side of the story to the press with everything they're saying out there. This is for his own good,
the reporter says.
You're not going inside this building. If you barge in again, I'll call the police,
the doorman says.
Tell him I'm down here then. He'll want to say something in his defense. Unless what they're saying about him is true, and that's why he's taking the coward's way out, ignoring everything. I can write about that, too, if I don't get anything. Won't reflect well on him at all.
Something snaps inside me. Maybe it's because I was already so worked up on Daniel's behalf since I saw those comments, or because the idea of people trashing him even more makes me see red. But this is the last straw. I stride toward the pair of them with determination. Don't you dare write more lies, I tell him, fighting to keep my temper under control. Daniel is a good man, and all those things are just that. Lies.
And you are?
He asks, brow raised. We're dating, and I know Daniel hasn't cheated. Loud honking startles me. Daniel's car is right at the end of the ramp coming out from the underground garage. He gestures to me in a come-here motion with his head, and I don't hesitate. Without another glance at the reporter or the doorman, I practically run toward the car, hearing the reporter fire off question after question behind me. By the time I climb in the car, I realize I'm shaking. Daniel drives off right away.
Caroline, what happened? Was that a reporter?
I nod, trying to speak past the lump in my throat.
You didn't tell him anything, I hope.
Swallowing hard, I fiddle with my thumbs, then tell him exactly what happened. Are you mad at me? I ask quietly.
For jumping to my defense? No, but this might make things hard for you, Caroline. They might try to contact you again.
I'll just ignore them.
Not so easy sometimes.
My stomach grumbles loudly as I sink lower into my seat, enjoying the soft, welcoming leather. Crap, I forgot about the sandwiches and the coffee. Daniel puts a hand over my laced fingers, which are still slightly shaky.
I'll get some food into you right away.
True to his word, he pulls in the parking lot of a diner a few minutes later.
Be right back. Wait here.
He returns with coffee, sandwiches, donuts, and muffins. What's all this? I ask, pointing to the sweet stuff.
I have three sisters. Sugar's the answer to everything.
That's a gross generalization of the female population.
Subjective, I admit, but I'm taking my chances.
As he drives away, speeding in the direction of the airport, I down a sandwich and a muffin. You're right. I do feel a bit better. I don't know why I got so worked up.
It's normal. Don't fret about it. But since you feel better, I want you to listen to me.
Oh, no, you're going to admonish me. Can I go back to pretending I'm still scared?
He laughs. I told you I'm not mad. I'm not going to admonish you, just give you some advice. Don't talk to the press again, at all. You see a reporter, you walk the other way around, promise?
Sure.
I mean it. You don't want to become their target, it's exhausting.
He takes one hand from my lap, bringing it to his mouth and kissing my knuckles. Keep your eyes on the road, I say.
They are. Don't need them to do this.
He turns my hand around, kisses my palm.
That was a sweet thing you did. I thought I was an expert at loving you, but you make me fall in love more every day.
I smile, shimmying in my seat. See? I don't need sugar. All I need is you sweet-talking, and I'm walking on sunshine. We reach the airport far too soon for my taste, but just in the nick of time for him to catch his plane. He gives me a hurried kiss and a take care, and then he's gone. The day drudges on slower than ever, leaving me too much time to think, to worry. About what in particular, I don't know, but there is a nasty feeling in my stomach, and it won't go away. By noon, a statement from Daniel's company is published, and by the end of the day, Beatrix and her fiancé release one too, assuring everyone it was just a nasty rumor and their wedding plans are continuing without a hitch. I'm not mentioned anywhere, which gives me some peace of mind. When I get home, I decide my funk is just about Daniel leaving, the prospect of being 1 week without him, and the lack of sleep from last night catching up with me. After a quick dinner, I head straight to my bedroom. I'm about to change into my pajamas when I notice one of Daniel's t-shirts by the bed. He must have forgotten it. Smiling, I pick it up, sniff it tentatively. Smells worn, but in a pleasant way. It smells like Daniel, so I wear it to bed, feeling a little closer to him this way. I wake up with a start before my alarm rings. Light is streaming from outside, so it's morning already. Did I sleep in? Forget to set my alarm. Confused, I blink, look around the room, then realize the source of the disturbance. My phone is ringing. The caller is a number I don't recognize. Briefly, I consider not answering. What if it's a reporter? Well, if it is, I can just hang up. This could be important. Keeping my fingers crossed, I answer. Hello? Is this Miss Caroline Dunn? Who's asking? I'm calling from the San Francisco General Hospital. Your father was just brought in, and you're listed as his emergency contact. I jump out of bed so fast I nearly sprain my ankle. Is he all right? What happened to him?
We don't know what happened, but he suffered a fall.
How is he? I hold my breath, my throat clogging up.
Nothing certain yet. We're going to take him up for a scan shortly, do some more tests. Do you want to keep him company in between tests?
Yes, of course. I'll be out the door in 10 minutes. 5. Tell my dad I'll be there, okay? I'll be there. What floor? I commit all the details to memory, then end the call. I'm out the door in 4 minutes. At the hospital, it's not so easy to find my dad. Turns out the details she gave me on the phone weren't correct. Or maybe my mind's so scattered that I memorized it wrong. That's a possibility. Please check your records, I beg the receptionist. Miss, our computer system is down at the moment, she repeats for the third time. I'll tell you as soon as they start back up. It shouldn't be more than a few minutes. I can barely hold back my frustration. Have you tried calling your father? I nearly want to slap myself because, of course, I haven't thought about calling him. What an idiot I am. He'll tell me where he is, except if he's too weak or too sick, but I refuse to consider that possibility. Drawing in a deep breath, I step away from the reception desk into a quieter corner and dial his number. It rings and rings and rings, then goes to voicemail. Panic flares through me, but I dial again. This time, he answers.
Hey, baby girl.
His voice is so weak, it scares me. Hi, Dad. I'm at the hospital. Where are you exactly?
8th floor. Don't know the room number.
It doesn't matter. I'll find you. I'll be there in a few minutes. I'll find you. Don't panic, Caroline. Don't panic. I repeat this mantra from the second I end the conversation as I head to the elevator. I try to concentrate on the positive aspect. He answered. It means he's not in surgery or in a coma. Both very good things. But why did he sound so weak then? Stepping out of the elevator, my eyes sweep around to identify whoever is part of the personnel. Scrubs. The first two I ask aren't any more helpful than the lady on the ground floor, but the third time's the charm. Oh, Martin Dunn. Yes, follow me. He wasn't brought in too long ago. I follow the nurse through the labyrinth of corridors until we reach a small room with two beds. Only one is occupied. By my dad. I bite my tongue to keep from gasping. A scratch runs at the side of his head from his cheek right up to his temple, and he's white as a sheet. Somehow he looks tiny in that bed, white linen up to his chest.
Hey, baby girl.
What happened? I look at the nurse, who holds up her hands to indicate she doesn't know. I'm going to leave the two of you and take him up for a scan in about 20 minutes. As she leaves, I sit on the edge of Dad's bed. He brings out a hand from under the sheet, and I grasp it reassuringly. Leaning in close, I inspect his scratch. Up close, I can see they smeared a yellowish substance along it. Okay, at least they took care of this.
I'm okay, baby girl. Don't you worry about me.
He sounds and looks weak, and nothing at all like my dad, so worrying doesn't even begin to cover it. I'm now actively fighting to keep the panic at bay. Little kids fall all the time, but a fall at his age is no joke. Did you hurt anything else besides your head? I ask.
Nah, just a scratch. Doctor said I might have a concussion, too.
Oh, dear God. Again, at his age, that's no small thing. What happened? You fell? He lifts his head, motioning to the glass of water on the small bedside table. Grabbing it, I hold it for him to drink. As he sips, I notice scratches on his left hand, too, running up to his elbow. He fell on his entire left side, then.
It was a weird morning, he says after he's done drinking. Woke up earlier than usual because I had a delivery at the store. When I arrived, there were three guys out front. Never seen them in the neighborhood.
He pauses, frowns, as if he forgot his train of thought. As much as I want to know the whole story, I don't push.
It didn't look like they'd come to rob anything. We're too relaxed, too out in the open. One had a camera around his neck.
I stiffen at the mention of the camera.
They started asking me questions about Daniel, about you. Personal questions. I figured they were reporters. Tried to shake them off. Kept following me around, pestering me with questions. They didn't even leave when the delivery truck came. Insisted I give them your home address.
He pauses again. This time for a longer time span.
When I didn't, they became even pushier. Couldn't shake them off at all. Tried harder. Somehow ended up on the pavement. Knocked my head hard. I figured it had something to do with that article about Daniel yesterday.
He continues. You saw it? I ask in surprise.
Yeah. Any truth in it?
I shake my head. In no mood to talk about that. All I want is for a doctor to come in and tell me my daddy will be fine. The nurse returns a few minutes later with the doctor. I immediately spring to my feet, anxious to question the hell out of him, wring out every detail. Briefly, I wonder if I can take the doctor to one side, ask him without my dad overhearing. But that's silly. Dad is not a baby, and this is his health we're talking about. Can't help wanting to protect him from bad news, though. It's a habit I formed back when Mama was sick. I used to talk to the doctors when Dad wasn't around because he burst into tears whenever there was bad news. She had advanced carcinoma. There was always bad news. Can you please walk us through everything? I asked the doctor.
Of course. We did a physical exam when he arrived. All signs point to a concussion, but a CT scan will remove any doubt of anything more serious, like a brain bleed or a subdural hematoma. We're keeping him the entire day, anyway. At his age, it'll be a big risk sending him home. A bleed can develop slowly in patients of a certain age, and it's best if he's here if it happens.
Now, wait a minute, Dad exclaims. I just hit the pavement. What's all that talk about staying the entire day?
It's standard procedure, the nurse says, good-naturedly.
We'll know more after the scan, the doctor continues. I don't want to alarm you if there's nothing to be alarmed about.
Yeah, that sounds reassuring. I bite back the retort, not wanting to worry my dad, not wanting to look worried for his sake. I have plenty of time to freak out on my own once they take him away. For now, I square my shoulders and paste a smile on my face. It's all standard procedure, Dad. Don't worry. He protests while the nurse and I help him out of bed. He's not steady on his feet, which is why she puts him in a wheelchair, and I swear to God, the sight of him in it breaks my heart. He looks so scared and defeated, sitting in the wheelchair in that huge hospital gown. An irrational fear grips me, and all I can think about when they wheel him away is my mom. Please, 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 Mama, don't take Daddy to you just yet. Chapter 27 Caroline. Filled with too much energy to sit, I pace up and down the corridor, worry eating at me. Gathering my wits, I call the principal to let him know I won't make it today. To be on the safe side, I take tomorrow off too, so I can dote on Dad. He's very understanding. The man will have a batch of his favorite donuts on his desk on my first day back. What I really want to do is call Niall, but I'll wait until they return with Dad so I can give him all the details. God, how I wish Niall was here. I need to be next to someone who loves Dad just as much as I do. I can't get the image of him in that wheelchair out of my mind. But I have to. Panicking would do no one any good. He'll be back any minute now, and I can't be in the midst of a panic attack when he does. 15 minutes later, the nurse is back with Dad, a doctor on their heels.
There are no signs of bleeding on the brain, the doctor informs me. But we still want to keep him under observation for a few hours, because he lost consciousness during the fall.
Dad falls asleep almost as soon as they bring him back, so I head back to the corridor and call Niall. He doesn't pick up, but after I text him, need to talk to you as soon as possible, he calls me right back. I tell him everything, starting with the article about Daniel and ending with Dad's trip to the hospital.
Jesus, how is he feeling? Niall asks. Is he coherent?
Yeah, just tired.
Can I talk to him?
He's sleeping right now. He looks so small and vulnerable in the hospital gown, Niall.
Everyone does, he says, gently. I'm going to try to talk to a doctor I know there. Maybe they can send me the scans over so I can look at them, too.
You think they might have missed something?
No, but it never hurts to have a second opinion. And, well, I'll feel more at ease if I look at them myself.
I understand the sentiment perfectly. If I could read CT scans, I'd want to see them, too.
How are you feeling? He continues.
Scared? Guilty? There is a short pause, and Niall says,
You shouldn't have talked to the reporter.
I swallow hard. He was there, spewing nonsense about Daniel. Trust me, if you'd been there, you wouldn't have been able to keep your mouth shut either.
Is there any truth in the article about Daniel?
No, I say, without hesitation. Look, this will all blow over soon, and Dad is all right. No harm done.
What if it happens again? Daniel's company is a revolving door for celebrities. Only a matter of time before he gets caught in the crossfire again.
I press my lips together. I have no comeback, because it's something I fear, too. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it, I say firmly.
How about Dad? He's not getting any younger.
What if he gets caught in the crossfire, too? And next time, he isn't so lucky.
I ball my hands into fists. That's a low blow, Niall.
I'm worried for Dad, okay? For you, too,
he says angrily, then exhales sharply.
Do you want me to fly to San Francisco? I can catch the next plane.
Despite his harsh words, I appreciate the offer. It would mean a lot of trouble for you, though, right?
It would, but I'll come if you need me, if Dad needs me.
It's okay, Niall. I'm handling this. Dad's okay, don't worry.
Okay. I'm going to hang up now and try to reach my contact at the San Francisco hospital. Ask for the CT scans. Call me if anything changes.
I will. I'm seething after our conversation, alone with my thoughts, which are even darker after the fallout with Niall. At first, I'm mad at myself for allowing him to get to me like this. But then I have to be honest with myself. His words got to me because I've had those same thoughts too, the same fears. I play with my phone in my hands, itching to talk to Daniel, to hear his voice. But the time difference to Australia is 17 hours. It's still nighttime there. So I call Blake instead and tell him everything.
The fucking media. Don't worry. Daniel and I will sort this out. Best not to take your dad back to his house today. It's too close to the store, and there's a slight chance one of the reporters hung back.
Sure. I'll take him to my apartment. They don't seem to have my address yet.
Perfect. What did Daniel say?
Haven't talked to him.
Why?
It's the middle of the night in Sydney.
So what? He'll get wrinkles if you wake him up from his beauty sleep? I'll talk to him as soon as I hang up. Call if you need anything else.
Sure. Thanks, Blake. Far from easing my mind, the conversation with Blake only sets me on edge more. Now, Dad can't even go home because of me. I go back inside his room, sit next to his bed. I brought this on Dad. No questions about that. I look at his figure, huddled under the sheets, struck again by how frail and old he looks, and somehow even smaller than before. What if this does happen again? Niall is right. Daniel's company is a revolving door for celebrities. Damn it. This is not the time to have a dark night of the soul. I read about that once and didn't quite understand what it meant. Well, now I do. I feel as if I'm literally lost in the dark with no idea which direction is the right one. What would lead me to safety? Not that there is ever a good time to have a breakdown, but if I have one, I would have preferred to at least have chocolate on hand. Not the type I can find in a vending machine either, but homemade chocolate cake. The kind Mom used to bake. Yeah, I'm picky even when I'm having a breakdown. I jump in my uncomfortable seat when my phone chimes and rush straight out of the room so it doesn't wake Dad. Then I glance at the screen and my throat closes up a bit. Daniel is calling. Clearly, Blake wasted no time. Hi, I say.
Blake told me everything. How's your dad?
Sleeping. Nothing came up on the scan, but they want to keep him under observation today because he was unconscious for a few seconds after he fell.
I'm so sorry. Is there anything I can do? Is he comfortable there? Do you want him to be transferred to a private hospital? Are you comfortable?
I can't help the wave of warmth spreading all the way to my fingertips. I love that he cares so much. No, we're fine, but thank you.
When are they discharging him?
In the evening, I suppose. I'll take him to my apartment, for tonight at least. Blake said it would be better if he didn't go back to his house because it's too close to the store and some reporters might be lingering there.
I'm sorry about that.
Not your fault. No one to blame but me and my big mouth. I drop my flats to the floor with a thud and curl my legs under me.
I'm sorting everything out, okay? Tomorrow he'll be able to go back home.
Dan, what if all this happens again? I'm scared.
I can't promise it won't, but we'll be better prepared. I'll coach you about what to say to the press. It'll be easier dealing with them if you have some standard lines.
I laugh out loud. Oh, Dan, I think you forget who you're talking to. When have I ever been able to stick to my lines? Wrong girlfriend for that. The laughter dies on my lips. I have no idea where those words came from, but now that they're out in the open, I have to consider them. Maybe he really does need another girlfriend, one who can be coached into what to say, who wouldn't just say what she felt, what was on her mind. One who can not only keep up with his lifestyle, but also help him thrive instead of making life more complicated for him. My heart breaks a little at the mere thought that I'm not enough. I don't really fit into this part of your life, do I?
Don't be ridiculous. If it's necessary, I'll work less with public personas, or not at all.
Now I'm panicking.
You will not do such a thing. You run a successful business, and you won't change a profitable strategy because of me. We'll figure it out, okay?
When I say nothing, he adds,
"Why didn't you call me, Caroline?"
I knew you were asleep. For the first time, though, I realize there's more to it. I didn't call because I didn't want him to sense the fear and hesitation in my voice. The doubts.
I'm getting on a plane in the morning, and...
No, no, no. We're fine. Sealing the deal in Sydney is important. Look, Dad's doctor is heading this way. We'll talk later, okay? I have to go now.
Okay.
Daniel. Do you have all that down? I bark. Yes, Daniel, I'm not hearing impaired, my assistant says, displaying the first sign of impatience. I was wondering when she'd start picking on me. Truthfully, I want to pick a fight with someone. Maybe that way I'll lose some of the frustration suffocating me. Okay, keep me posted. Sure thing. Want me to call Coulson and Stanhill? No, I'll call them myself. The skyline in Sydney is still pitch dark, but I feel wide awake, partly because I'm still functioning on San Francisco time. My body usually needs 2 days to beat the jet lag, but I've been on high alert since talking to Blake. After talking to Caroline, my mind started to spin. My priority, for now, is to make sure no reporter dickhead bothers her or her family any longer. The never-ending to-do list I'm dictating for my assistant is the start. Then I'll have to go through my own to-do list, call the right people, starting with Coulson and Stanhill. Are you getting any sleep? She inquires. Got in a few hours, they'll have to do. So you're going to be working in both time zones? Looks like it. Well, have fun. I'm going to start on the mile-long to-do list you just dictated to me. Bye, Daniel. Bye. I'm going to call Stanhill first, then plow through the list of people I have to talk to. That should prevent me from replaying the conversation with Caroline in my head over and over again. Damn it. I can't stay in my room anymore. I'll go to the hotel's gym, make all the calls while running on the treadmill. I need to move. Dressing in running gear, I head to the gym and am surprised to see a young woman behind the welcome desk. When I read the gym was open 24 hours a day, I assumed it was entirely self-service. First-class service, I suppose. Good evening. She smiles, hands me two towels. Jet lag? Yeah. We get that a lot. There are refreshments in the bar area inside the gym. Thanks. There are three other hotel guests inside the gym, but I find a treadmill far enough away that I can make my calls without disturbing them. I'm in the middle of my third call when Blake's name appears on the screen. I politely tell my conversation partner I'll call him back, then answer my brother. Did you find out which publication he was from? I ask without further ado. Yes, A-lister laundry. Okay, just got off the phone with Stanhill. He's drafting up all the cease and desist papers. I also talked to an insider from Hollywood Gossip, he says, referring to the tabloid that first published the picture. You were right. They did get the picture from Justin Hamill. The idiot just signed his sentence. I'm going to sue the crap out of him. Did you talk to Caroline? Tell her this won't happen again? That it'll be easier to deal with the press once she knows what to tell them? Yeah, I did. The conversation didn't go the way I hoped. So talk to her again. I will. She said she'll call me back. I'm still waiting. For fuck's sake, don't wait too long. Our sisters insist women need time to mull over things, but all my evidence points to the contrary. Thanks for the advice, Blake. I need to call Stanhill back. I'll talk to you later. Sure, but I'm serious. Don't wait too long. After clicking off, I rewind the conversation with Caroline in my mind for the millionth time. I felt her slip away from me during our conversation, and I didn't know what to say to win her back. For that matter, I still have no clue what to say, or I'd call her back right this instant. The fear and worry in her voice paralyzed me. I need a damn good plan before I talk to her, but my mind seems to be filled with fog thanks to the jet lag. No matter how I spin it, this is all my fault. And the worst of it is, I can't guarantee it won't happen in the future. What if something worse happens next time? What if Caroline herself gets in an accident? Just the thought of something bad happening to her gives me heartburn. In the past few weeks, I looked up a few adoption agencies, familiarized myself with the process. I want to spend the rest of my life with Caroline. I can see us together, in our home, complete with a white picket fence and a brood of kids. I want to hear her laughter every day, hear her soft breathing at night sleeping next to me, warming my bed and my life. I need her. I love this woman. I want her safe and happy. Always.
Chapter 28. Caroline.
You don't need to babysit me.
The conversation isn't going the way I hoped, though it's nothing less than I expected. Dad hasn't been upset by the news that he can't spend the night in his own house, right until I made the mistake of saying the new arrangement means I can keep an eye on him. Dad, you had a serious fall. If you don't want me keeping an eye on you, I'll talk to the doctor, ask him to keep you overnight.
You got your stubborn streak from your mother.
I barely suppress a grin. Dad can be such a child when it comes to hospitals. I have no power to convince a doctor to keep him for longer than necessary, but Dad hates hospitals enough that he doesn't want to risk me asking. Niall managed to get hold of the CT scans, too, and his opinion mirrored the doctor's here. I'm waiting for Dad to change in the bathroom when I hear two familiar voices coming through the open door. They said room 23B, right? Summer asks.
Yes. Oh, look, it's this one. The B is a little faded.
The second voice belongs to Jenna Bennett. I smile for what feels like the first time today when the two women step inside the room. What are you doing here?
We just found out about the whole incident.
Jenna glances around the room worriedly.
Where's Martin?
I motion toward the bathroom. Changing. They discharged him a few hours early, so we're going home. Summer smiles, holding up one forefinger.
We have a proposition. Since you can't go back to Martin's house tonight, why don't we all go over to Mom and Dad's? Plenty of space and more people to look after Martin.
I look from one woman to the other and barely bite back the impulse to hug them both. It isn't just the space I'm grateful for, but the company.
That would be great. But let's see what Dad says. Whatever you do, don't mention the part about looking after him.
Men. Jenna shakes her head, waving a hand.
Leave this to me.
Dad steps out the next second, his eyes widening.
Quite a welcoming party, eh?
Jenna smiles sweetly.
We would have been here earlier, but we just found out. Lucky you were still here. You're in excellent shape, I see.
Thank you,
Dad says, with an air that indicates he's thinking, finally, someone sees things my way. I'm taking mental notes. First step, buttering up.
Can I tempt you with a homemade dinner at our house? Maybe even spend the night? We had the grandkids over the weekend, and since they left, the house is so empty. Richard and I could use the company.
I stare at her.
Forget taking notes. That level of mastery cannot be achieved by simply following a set of instructions. Even Summer looks at her mother in appreciation.
She even plans to make chocolate mousse, Summer adds.
Man, what a low blow. Chocolate mousse is Dad's favorite.
Well, I had a concussion, not a heart attack, so I'd better eat as much sugar and butter while I can get away with it.
And the matter is settled. Dinner lasts well into the night. Since Dad slept plenty during the day, he isn't in a hurry to go to bed. I stay with him out in the gazebo after Richard, Jenna, and Summer turn in.
Great people, the Bennets, Dad says.
They are.
What's on your mind, child?